You know, one might wonder what Samuel was doing sleeping in the temple. You know, if we found somebody here sacked out in one of the pews during Mass, we really wouldn't look too highly upon that. But Samuel seemed to be in a good shape with the Lord there. What was he doing there? Well, those of you who read the weekly readings this week will have the rest of the story. It goes back a ways. Samuel's mother, Hannah, she was childless. And she was at the temple praying and crying, asking God for the gift of a child. Well, Eli, the priest, he saw her there crying and carrying on, apparently. And he goes up to her and says, you know, go home. You're drunk. Get out of here. And she says, no, I'm not drunk. I'm distraught. I'm begging the Lord for a child. And he says to her, well, go home and may the Lord grant your wish. Well, she went home and she conceived a child. She named him Samuel. But one of the promises she made to the Lord is that that child, if the Lord would give her a child, would be dedicated to the Lord for all of his life. And so when Samuel gets aged to be weaned, his mother brings him to the temple, and he stays at the temple. I don't know if Eli wanted to become a foster father, but that's what happened. The child was at the temple, and he lived at the temple, and he was raised by the priests of the temple. Well, in the story today, he's probably still a fairly young person. Some speculate maybe 12, 13 years old. And he's sleeping. And he hears his name called. And thinking it's Eli, who is getting older by now, he goes to see what he needs. And this happens three times before Eli finally understands what's going on. The Lord is calling the boy. And of course, that's the beginning of a long history of Samuel being one of the great leaders of the Jewish people. If we go to the gospel reading this morning, we have another story of someone being called. This time, it's the first two of what will later become the apostles. It starts with that unusual, at least in our ears, comment of John the Baptist. Look, the Lamb of God. Now, that may not say too much to us, but to the Jewish people, that had a deep meaning. Because they knew that it was the Lamb upon whom they symbolically laid the sins of the people and then offered that lamb in sacrifice so that the people could be reconciled with God, could be forgiven their sins. And so when John says, the Lamb of God, he was saying, he's the one that will free us from our sins. He's the one that will save us. And then those two to be apostles ask what again sounds like an unusual question. Where do you stay? And Jesus said, come, and you will see. They were wanting to know just more about where he lived. But they wanted to know about who he was. They wanted to know him. And Jesus invites them to come and know him. Now for Samuel and for those two early apostles, what was needed was that they have a deep hunger to know the truth that God wanted to reveal. They yearn to know God. They yearn to know how to grow closer to God. And that's an important thing for you and I. But I don't want to focus so much on their response as I do on the one who called. Because that's really the core of our faith. Each one of us is called by God. God wants to reveal himself to each and every one of us. We are God's creation. We are his sons and daughters. He wants to give life to each and every one of us. He calls us. We believe that we were called in baptism to be children of God, to be members of the body of Christ, to share the inheritance of Christ Jesus our Savior. God calls us out of his deep love, out of his deep desire that we who are his creation would be with him forever in the kingdom of heaven. That is the magnitude of God's love. And that is why he sent his Son, so that we might hear that call and we might be gathered into unity with Christ Jesus, and he might present us to the Father as his great gift. Now, if God calls, there is something that you and I must do. We must listen and must respond. You know, there's many things that can be obstacles to us hearing the call of God. I suspect the greatest of all obstacles is pride. When I say to myself, I'm okay. I don't need anyone. I don't need a Savior. I can do it myself. I can be good enough to get to heaven. I don't need to grow into unity with Christ Jesus. That is the greatest obstacle. Not to know that I need a Savior. But there's other obstacles too. It can be our anger, our resentments, our bitterness, our lack of forgiveness. That can get in the way of us hearing the voice of God, our selfishness, or just our being absorbed in the things of this world. Not necessarily bad things, but that becomes our total preoccupation. And we don't have the silence, the inner yearning to hear the voice of God. And when we're caught up in things like that, God speaks to us, but we don't hear, we don't listen, and we can't respond. The great truth of our faith is that God calls each and every one of us. He doesn't have some of us that he wants to go to hell and others of us that he wants to go to heaven. He wants all of us to be with him. He wants to share his life, his very self, with each and every one of us. You and I are called to listen and then respond. Thank you.